keep this rolling if we can. Someone come up and have a prayer with us. It's okay if you don't have much to say. Just come on up and do that.
Let's stand for prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we stand in thy presence today, this beautiful day, and this time together with fellow track workers, we just pray that you'd bless our time together. We thank you for the meal and for those people that have put themselves out here at Fairview and bless them and their work. We pray that you'd bless our afternoon service here, and as we share together, and as we listen, and that we can be inspired, and that your Spirit would be here to lead us and to direct us and guide us. This would be our prayer, we pray through the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, we'll turn it over to Rod now. Tell us a little about Zambia.
Well, I know this afternoon session can sometimes, it's that time of day when we kind of get a little bit sleepy, we've had a good meal. Hopefully we can stay alert and stay focused. I'll tell you just a little bit about one of your dear brethren there in the country of Zambia. I've been in charge of Tanzania and Zambia for, well, coming up on 4 years now. So we have one gospel tract worker in Zambia, and we have one gospel tract worker in Tanzania. In the country of Zambia, there the capital city is Lusaka, and that's where Eldine and Danielle Friesen are. They're from Brookston, Texas. They're actually going to be coming home for furlough here starting tomorrow. We're going to be home for about 2.5 months. And they do printing. They do their printing right there in country, and he ships tracts all over that country. Very similar to what Brad would have been doing there in Ivory Coast. And it's an enthusing work. So what I want to tell you about, though, is back in 2017, there was this man by the name of Emmanuel Chopo, and he's from Mansa, Zambia, which is, if you would look on a map of Zambia, there is a finger of the DRC that sticks down into Zambia, and Zambia kind of curves around it. And Ndola's on the south side of that. They call that the copper belt. There's a lot of copper mining that goes on there. And on the north side of where the DRC sticks down in there is a city by the name of Mansa. And there are two different ways that we have connection with the city of Mansa. And one of them was back in 2017, this Emmanuel Chopo was in the hospital there in Lusaka. And he noticed as he was there that there was a young man that was coming in there, and he was refilling those track racks in that hospital, UHC hospital, I think is what it's called, big government hospital there. And he noticed him there, and after he left one time, by the way, this is Kendall Wiebe from Durham, Kansas. He's the one that was the worker there at that time. And he noticed him, this white man there, filling those racks and everything, and then afterwards, Mr. Chopo went and he would look at those tracks and he'd read those tracks, and they spoke to his heart. And in the course of time, then he was in the hospital for a little while, and I don't remember how sick he was, but on the back of those tracks, they are printed there in Zambia, and it has the address and number for the gospel tract worker. So he called and talked to Kendall, and Kendall agreed to come and meet him there at the hospital. So Kendall went there to the hospital. He started visiting with Mr. Chopo. In the course of time, Mr. Chopo went back up to Mansa. And there was also another connection with a lady that became acquainted with our people there, and she had some daughters. She died in a vehicle accident. She had been cleared for doctrine classes. And that's another story. But anyway, there was connection with the city of Mansa up there. And through the years, Mr. Chopo, he became a very enthused tract worker up there. He would, he'd get tracts shipped to him, and he would hire a moto, and he would take his tract boxes, and he would take his tracts, and they would stack them on the back of that motorcycle, and they would go around to the clinics, to the hospitals, to everything there in the Monza area, and he was on fire to get the word of God out there. He had been Christian since 1985 is what he would say. I've been a Christian since 1985. And so we were just up there recently. Merlin Wiebe, and a year ago, Eldeans and I, we made, and Lisa and I, we made the trip up there, and we sat with Mr. Chopo and we visited with him, and he shared his heart that he wanted to be a member. He wanted to be part of the church. And so in the course of time, got permission to place a couple there temporarily, and Les and Sharon Goosen from Annapolis Valley, Nova Scotia, they were there from November till just a few days ago, and they went through the doctrines with Mr. Chopo. And by the way, Mr. Chopo is 80 years old now, and he's a very interesting man. He knows his Bible very well, and they had long discussions about the doctrines. And so we were there together when they got through that book. Merlin Wiebe is the general mission field secretary for Zambia. There's a general mission couple there also. So we met there in Zambia, and Eldeans and Merlin and I, we flew to Monza. It's about an hour and a half flight. And we sat there together with Mr. Chopo, and we discussed. We talked about many different things. And I'll tell you just a couple of things he said. I said, he's 80 years old, but he still walks very well. He's quite spry. And yet, the way that he does his tract work is we actually, Gospel Tract pays for the hiring of a moto. And they take him to all the different villages that he goes to. And he refills those tract racks, and he evangelizes to the people. He's on fire for the gospel. And I said, when we were there, and in the course of visiting, I said, Mr. Chopo, are you able to keep on distributing the tracts like you have been doing? And he looks at me and he says, Brother Roderick, he says, how old was Caleb when they went into the promised land? How old was Caleb? He went through that, and anyway, I think he was 84, the way his calculations were. Roderick, how old was Moses when he led the children of Israel? How old was Moses? I think he was around 80. Yes, yes, yes. And the Lord gave him strength. The Lord gave him strength to do this. Do you not think the Lord will give me strength to keep on? You can just, I can, it's just a, I said, okay, I see that the track work is in good hands here in Monza. And he also cannot understand why. And I tell him we want to see if we can find a worker to continue here. And he just cannot understand why, with our resources here in America, that there'd be any kind of a problem. That is just beyond his scope of understanding that there would be difficulty in getting a worker for there. So anyway, we are looking for a worker to go there for a year. There's a furnished house ready to go. We'll need to buy a vehicle if we can find a worker, because we rented a vehicle. But anyway, we sat there with Mr. Chopo and Les Goosen and Merlin Wiebe and I and Eldeen, and we discussed many things. One thing that he was not quite sure about was the mode of baptism. We spent quite a bit of time talking about that. Les had been through that with him. But anyway, he submitted to the direction of the church in that. When we got done, we had a time where we talked together, and it seemed open to baptize that man. And so we had about a half hour there, and we kind of got things around, and we just had a little service there. And Mr. Chopo was baptized into the church. He became our brother. And it was just such a... I just wish that there's a way that the feeling that we had there in that and that little setting. I think if all of the people in your congregations could experience that feeling and the moving of the Holy Spirit, I don't know that we necessarily have a shortage of workers. And it's just, I could say quite a bit more, but I think I'll just leave it with that. That it just inspires me when I see the way that the gospel, how it can touch a heart, and what one track can do, and the power and the truth that's there. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. So, I've heard it said, and y'all can help me think through this, that if we were more active in our tract work and in our contacts, we wouldn't struggle so much to have people to fill our positions. And I wonder how much that correlates. We'll open it up now for your little experiences. And you need to know that nothing's too small. Both sides of the house here. If you have something or something that happened or touched you on one of your recent routes or even in the past, get up here and bring it. This is a part of our meeting that always takes a minute to get going. But when it gets going, it's hard to shut down. So somebody start us off and break the ice and just bring us a little something. It don't have to be big. Whatever you have.
Oh, my Lord never amazes me. He just keeps me in awe most of the time. The fact that I would be here. We have many different nationalities in our church. I think I'm probably the only one that would be a remnant shell. The world calls us gypsies. That's how I grew up. But really our nationality is gypsy. My people traveled all over. I had very little schooling. When I came to the church, I didn't know how to read very well at all. I found, this was years ago, and some of you might not even remember, but they used to have a folder of tracts and envelope that said important messages. I found it laying on the ground in a trailer court. I thought I'd found something of great value, and it was more valuable than I realized. I couldn't read most of them, but I read that, just a little drink, why not? That seemed to be a favorite pastime of mine, was drinking. And I needed a little help getting it read. I went to an aunt and uncle and I shared it with them. After that, every bar I went into, every place I took a drink, I couldn't help but think about that track. They named it right when they called it tracks, because it just tracked me everywhere I went. I later on lived with a young lady that was expelled from the church, and we ended up getting married, came to the church. We were in the church for a short time, about 10 years, and I got a divorce. I had four children, two of them with handicaps, and I had sole custody of my children and didn't know what I was going to do next. And I'm not sure you'll understand this, but I walked into a bar and I seen the most beautiful bartender I ever seen, Miss Paula. It was love at first sight. I don't understand it, and I don't expect you to understand it, but God was at work. I married her, and you wives won't understand this. I'm sure you husbands will. I would try to talk to her about God and tell her that we're lost. We're lost. We're not saved. If we died right now, we'd go to hell. It was like pouring gas on fire. You husbands ever have that little situation where you try to explain to them what needs to be done? That's the way it was. And that went on for so long. She would tell me, I'm saved. My wife was Native American. She spent much of her childhood growing up in a Catholic orphanage for Native Americans. And she says, they never taught us anything there about God. Nothing was ever taught. But we were married, and she was a wonderful mother, wonderful wife. But we still had those issues with the drinking. One night, I came home and tried to explain to her, and it just didn't work. And I thought about the gospel tracts. So I went and got me some gospel tracts, and I spread them all out through our house. I'd leave them on the kitchen cabinet, bathroom, just wherever. But she would read those tracts. She would read those gospel tracts. And I came home one evening, and she was in tears. She looked at me and she held the track up. She said, I'm lost. I never knew it. I'm lost. What do I do? Tell me about this track. Tell me about this. And I tried to explain it to her and share with her. But she started going to church. She started taking the children to church after that. And I went with her simply because I didn't want them being taught something that they shouldn't be taught. I just figured I'm living in adultery. You know, this is the way it is. I've got no other choice, no alternative. And at least I'm going to go there and make sure that they hear the truth. There's so many lies. We are so fortunate to sit here under the truth of the gospel. It's wonderful. So I went and God started speaking to me. And I told the Lord, I said, you don't want me. You don't want me. I'm living in adultery and I'm out of your church. Can't do it. I finally came to the place where I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll come back to you and serve you, but take this love I have for Miss Paula away. Take it away. He said, I don't take love away. I give it. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. We served the Lord for quite some time. Went to different churches. I was ordained in a church in Junction City, Kansas. But when I started preaching the gospel, I preached what I learned here. And they didn't like it. We were thrown out of churches, told to hit the door. One church started to get physical with us at one point. Finally, I told Paula, I said, Paula, I've got to go back to my church. She says, will they throw us out there? No, I said, they won't throw us out there. We'll just go. We'll go. So we came to church there in Dodge City. We went there for about a year. We shared our testimony to our brothers and sisters. They came to us. They said, we feel like you're bearing fruit. Your marriage might be accepted. I told them, I hope not. I hope not. I love this church too much to put things in its way where others might question our situation. I felt like we had peace with God. We were doing everything we could. She was doing everything she could. And it was right before the meeting that they had there in Dodge City, the general conference meeting. We'd been sharing things, and we'd been going to church there for about a year. Ron, you were a little part of that, and thank you for being there. Anyway, there were 60 ministers and deacons that voted on it, and they accepted our marriage. So here we all are today, and it all started out. With that little track, you must be born again. like the way we always start out too, is with prayer. We always start out with prayer. Charles Spurgeon, he was a wonderful minister. I believe it was in the 1800s in England. A young minister came to him and said, "I'd like to learn how to preach like you." Or he told him, he says, "If you want to preach like me, you'll have to pray more than you talk." We're encouraged to pray without ceasing. This track work needs lots of prayer. Pray for people that will get in your way where you can give them a track. Pray for a sorrow for sinners. And I want you all to know our marital situation. And I like the opportunity here that I have here. Myself and Paula, we would appreciate your questions, your concern. You know, if you don't have a concern for this church, we would be all in trouble. So if you have any questions at all about our marital situation, our hearts are totally open, and we love you all. Thankful for the opportunity to be here and take part in this wonderful work that we all have to do. God bless you all.
My wife had a little experience that happened to us that I thought if I could share here. We had visited her grandma in Arizona, and we were on our way back, and we're on a main interstate that kind of follows the Mexico border there, kind of desolate country. And passed this guy, and I think his hood was up, and he was looking for some help. And so we pass him, and I asked my wife, "Should we help him? What should we do?" "Okay, we'll help him." We'd already called in our supper, but we take the exit, turn around, head back the other direction, start looking for a road to cut back across, get back on. And so got an opportunity, pulled out on the road, headed back east, and I had no more than pulled into that lane and speeding up, and this vehicle coming behind me is going to come around me, and all of a sudden their tire just blows just like that. So I was like, well, maybe this is who we're supposed to help. So we stopped and backed up, and here was this young girl, and it was a sad situation. She had come up, she had some relationship that had fell apart. She was going off to see some other guy from a little ways away, and so yeah, I happened to have my tools with me, and we changed her tire and was able to give her a track. But it just was kind of it was just a lesson for me how God, he just has a way of timing our feet, I guess. You know, if we're willing to help out, there's a way that we can be a help. So to finish the story, we got back on the road, and here this guy was still parked along the road. And so we pulled in there, and as I pulled in, another vehicle pulled in. And so another guy, and so he was willing to take that guy to get help. And I figured at that point that was fine with me. I'd help someone else out, so he helped him out. So thank you all.
Good afternoon. Sometimes I hear that it seems like people think there's not much to do on the track work. And for me, I think there's unending work. There's a lot that we can do everywhere. And sometimes you just have to decide where first and what to do and what not to do, I guess. So lately, we've been doing a little of these displays like this, and just putting them out, and it seems like they take them easy. And a lot of times, if you take several of them, you can take several of them, and then you put a little tray on the top, and when you start talking to them, you start showing them those tracks and flipping those tracks, and you tell them, you know, we have all these tracks and all the different titles, and they're looking at it. Then you tell them, pull one of these out and say, well, we put them together. You can get them all on your phone and other languages, and you'd like to leave one of these. And they're quite, it seems like most, a lot of places will take them. Just lately we had I had one it was a Mexican bakery, and the lady was there, and I showed her the tracks and flipped through the tracks, and then I was wanting to leave one of these, and she said I could leave it. I guess I thought about this when Donnie was talking, when he's talking about drinking and this and that. Well, this lady, she asked me, she wanted to take that tray. Well, I didn't want to let her have it, because that's what I use, that's my bait. And then she said she was wanting a track out of there. Well, she said that her husband had trouble with drinking, and she'd seen that one track in there, something about drinking. So we hunted a while trying to find a track. We found one. I'm not sure if there's another one in there or not through that mix. And so we found that track, and she kept that track at least. I don't know, maybe I should have helped her more, but I don't know what her husband thought of that track. But anyways, she took that track. But I thought it's interesting sometimes they get enthused about it. And these, I'm not for sure what to think about them yet. How much people actually do it or not, but if they get into trouble and they see it, surely they would, or the Spirit would help them too. I don't know. I'm not sure yet, but there's a lot we can do. There's a lot of places and a lot of things, a lot of people that we can touch. Oh, you can just buy these, just order them, these little displays like this. They come like 36 in a box. I'm not sure what they cost, do you know? They're not too expensive. I always figured those little trays full of tracks cost more than this thing does.
What would you order
them? Just online something. We ordered some that were a little cheaper, and this one's pretty snug, and those were, they weren't snug, so when you carried them, they'd fall out or something unless you taped the back. So this here brand or whatever seems like it works better. And then, my wife just prints this up on our little printer at home, so it's photo paper, and it's, 4x6? 4x6 paper, and it's just a little bit, it wants to buckle a little bit, so you have to trim about a 16th off the top and about an 1/8 inch off the side. And then these come with a film on them, so you have to take that off of there. So it's a little time consuming, but not too bad to get them ready. But we've done a few different ones. The track office, they made us a QR code that comes up in Spanish, so the verse, we put the verse in Spanish. QR code is a special one for it, so when they scan it, it comes up in Spanish for them right away. So there's a lot of Spanish places. Dodge City, Garden City, and Liberal have a lot of Spanish places, and so we went around some of those places. I was hoping we wouldn't step on some of our other brethren's toes by going in those places. Donnie gave me permission to go to Dodge a little bit. So we put about 20 of these in each of those towns or so, and mainly in the Spanish places. I think we put out about 66 of them with no refusals. So if you're going other places, you might have more refusals. If you go to chain places, like chain restaurants or something, you'll probably have a big share of refusals. But basically, they're all, it seems like they're happy to get them. And I don't know how productive they are or not yet, but I guess we never know. So. How's that? Okay. He says we didn't need his permission to come to Dodge. I'll tell you what's really interesting. There's about, is there 10 churches around that area or more? All these churches around there. There's nothing to do. And we put out 60 racks with no refusals. And I think there maybe only two or three of those places had track racks in them. One place had a track rack in it, and when I was leaping through there and showed it to him, he was all excited. He had to go show me where the track rack was. Well, he let me do this both. So he had the tracks already, and then he had this. So now he has both. So you have one of them in Dodge that has both. But most of the places, I never seen a track rack, and there's nothing to do. So I guess.
It's been very inspiring. Anyway, I liked what Todd told us last night. Make an opportunity. And you know, this last August, we was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and on the plaza there's they're selling the Navajo, they call them Indian bread. I call them Navajo tacos. I wanted my taco. So we was walking through the plaza there, and it was all busy. And there was a seat, and there was a gentleman sitting there. He just finished his lunch, so we sat down, asked him if we could share the bench with him. Yes, you can. And he looked at Linda and myself, and we got to talking, and here he was, a Catholic psychologist. And he said, "What are you doing here?" Oh, we said, "We're just enjoying the Southwest." And he says, "We're really having a big trouble in our gospel music in their church." And he said, "You know, there's just no inspiration anymore. It's just how loud the band plays." And we got to talking about, you know, take the opportunity and make a conversation. And I said, "Well, Linda writes gospel music." And he says, "Really?" And bless her heart, she went ahead and gave him a couple lyrics of verses. Through it all, we told him about the little QR codes, the little tracks. He says, "Oh, really? That's so interesting." So I give him some. He says, "This is something I'm going to use." But just take the opportunity. Find somebody. Visit. It's just right there. And then that afternoon, we was driving and was getting close. Oh, no, the next day. And we stopped some little joint there in Colorado. And we just went in and got a couple pieces of chicken and come out and sat down on the little picnic table beside. Here comes a little car, pulls in, parked right in front of us. On his front license tag, it said, "God is my co-pilot." So he gets out. He went in and he come back and I said, "Hey, tell me about your God, your co-pilot." He said, "What?" He said, "I bought this car used and that was on there." I said, "So we had a little just verbal visit. He said, well, I'm agnostic. No, I don't believe a thing. No, I don't believe in God. But yet he was driving around with God as my co-pilot. So I'm praying today, and we did, that he has stopped and thought, what did them kids tell me? And, you know, that's just take the opportunity. You know, even just a penny in the parking lot, I'll pick it up. And I'll walk in, leave them to Walmart, and I'll say, hey, look what I found on the ground. Penny. So I said, it's in God we trust. You can start a conversation, just take off with a penny. It's right there. Everybody's got in God we trust in our pocket. Just use it and share it. I know we was in Denver there that one time, Kendall Under and myself, we went in to service our racks, and there was a gentleman in there just like you or me, washing his clothes. And we was doing the rack, and he said, what are you guys doing? He said, we're just freshening up these tracks and taking out the wrinkled ones and putting some new ones in. Give me one. So we gave him one. He said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in this stuff. I don't need that. And I just said, oh, I'm sorry. He looked at me and says, why are you sorry? I said, let me tell you something. And this is real personal, but my great-grandfather in Russia, my grandfather came over as an orphan. He was 16 years old, but his parents were both gone. And he was an orphan, Grandpa Schmidt. But he said his father was an unbeliever, an infidel, alcoholic Schmidt back up in the hill there in Russia. And he said the last words he heard his father say, he looked at the ceiling and said, oh God, what a great fire. And he died. So I told this atheist about my grandfather, my great-grandfather. He goes, so, either burn in hell or you burn in the crematory. What's the diff? But I forgot to tell him that a crematory has a timer. But, you know, we've prayed and thought about this many times. I hope he has went back to that laundromat and looked. What did they have? So take the opportunity. Make an opportunity. And that's so important in this, you know. Anyway, it's great.
Probably not North Korea, right?
Yeah, probably not North Korea.
I'm glad you know.
said 12 countries. We're in 12 countries?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have workers in 6% of the countries in the world.
But as far as website traffic, I think there'd be very few countries that wouldn't have at least had some access to the website. As far as actual physically shipping traffic, there's probably a number that haven't actually had any physical traction. And by the way, just as a matter of interest, like Tyson Hebert in Argentina and like Justin Becker in Chile, it actually saves the conference quite a bit of money to have those workers there. When you have workers in the country, it was costing like $300 per box to ship into Argentina, same way in Chile. And especially in Argentina, those boxes were not good for the people that were ordering them. When you got approval to put a worker in Argentina, put a worker in Chile, you were saving a lot of money. And they're actually protected against the people. They're being printed in country, they're being shipped.
So, I'm going to try to overwhelm you just a little bit, that way you can pray. Rod talked about Mr. Chopo, or Brother Chopo, there in Mwanza. If he stays there, do we have an obligation to put a missionary there? We just baptized another sister in Cambodia. Tim's know that there's some opportunity in Japan. If we send somebody to Japan and we start baptizing people there, we need missionaries there. We send somebody to Indonesia, we start baptizing people there, we need missionaries for Indonesia. The General Mission Board is overwhelmed. They have started asking Gospel Tract, when we baptize these new baptisms, we would then turn that over to General Mission, and that becomes their work then. But they're asking us, as Gospel Tract, to keep those works. I think three new works that we have, they're asking us to keep that, because they can't take it on. You see what I'm saying? There's this ball keeps rolling, but where are the workers? Where are the funds? We're coming to the annual meeting as a track board asking for a $3 quota raise per member per year or month. That ball just keeps rolling. And do we actually put brakes on because of resources? We need your help in that. We need your prayers. We need your help. You know, we were looking at this map of the routes, and I noticed Paul, he put up the map of probably like Denver, and there was a few stops in the area there, and oh, that's covered. No, it's not covered. That area is not covered. With my experience of the track workers in the east, so it's unlimited, the places that you can put a rack. You might be putting a rack in a laundromat here, and you realize, well, it's hardly moving any tracks, but it may just be the laundromat across the street that really needs the rack, and it had moved. Because what happens is those set of people that go, they go to the same laundromat. So it's those people probably aren't interested, but maybe it's the people across the street. So when you look at that map and you say, well, Homeland has that covered in Denver. No, they don't. Because you could probably go to the same street and put out three racks on that same street in different places and actually be more successful than what's happening in where Homeland's putting theirs. You understand what I'm saying? We're not looking at numbers exactly, but what we're looking at is casting the net. The wider you make that net, the more we're going to catch. If you look at it as we're fishers of men. So when you think about the story of the disciples out fishing, all night and they didn't catch anything. And then we say, oh, well, there's a miracle because Jesus come on the scene. He said, put your net over here instead of over here. And they caught the fish. Well, Jesus knew where that school of fish was. The apostles didn't. And so when you go out on your routes, and even though somebody else has covered it, you know, ask the Lord, Lord, what side of the boat should I put that net down? What, which street or where, you know, how involved do you want him to get? That app, what I'm seeing on that is, that tells you that, okay, they have a rack in this laundromat. You can stop there and check it. But that just tells you there's a rack there, but right down the street you can put a rack. If you're catching what I'm saying. The other thing that our worker in Queens is doing, and I think Roger mentioned that Dodge City has 15 churches in it. So what Clay is doing, he's going along, and as he comes to a church, he has a little packet made up. He has some tracts in there with the information of his contact information. And if they have a mail slot in the door, he just drops it in there. And this little packet says that if your church is going on a mission and you need literature, I can provide it for you. Maybe that's what needs to happen in Dodge City, is that we go to these churches and say, look, if you're ever looking to do mission work, we can provide the literature. We can provide what you need. Maybe that also spur them that, hey, we haven't done anything for a long time. We need to do something. The opportunities are almost limitless. And I guess that's what I'm kind of wanting to do just a little bit, is overwhelm you that if you think there's not work to do, your mind isn't open enough. Somebody mentioned last night at supper, and I thought I'd mention this too, that, and I mentioned it last night just a little bit, but the personal touch needs to be there. And I would encourage you as track workers, when you put out a rack, make it some way that somebody pulls out a track and they read it and they're inspired and they're like, hey, what does this mean for my life? And I want to talk to somebody. It's a whole lot better if they have your information and that they can call you up and say, look, I got this track. It seems like you put it out there. Can you answer some questions for me? Rather than them sending a message to the tract office, and then it has to they send out a list to the congregation and here's the contact. If they just have that contact that they can make with you directly, it's working very well in New York City. In every rack and every handout that they put, they have their information there, personal information, and they get filled several calls, probably a month of, you know, I found this track and what's going on here, and you know what I could tell you about. I think we'll have a brother. He's from New York City. He lives just outside of New York City. But he's been coming to the mission now for about a couple years. He's just went through doctoral class. I'm hoping that he'll be Eric Pobo, I think is his name. He'll be a brother here baptized soon. But, you know, he found a tract, and somehow it had the information on it. It was the tract, Have a Good Day. He emailed Roger Penner just shortly after we left there, and he told Roger, I've never had a good day in my life. But there was that personal connection that Roger then could reach out to him. So that would be another thing I would encourage you, is somehow in your work, make sure or incorporate a way that there can be a personal contact with you or your congregation or whoever. I did also share this just a little bit with some of the brethren, that our city workers have a dedicated tract phone. And I wonder if that wouldn't be a good idea for every congregation to just buy a phone that is for tract work, if you're going to start handing out personal information, that those people could contact that phone. It would go with whoever. whoever's on the track committee, that phone would just go, you know, it's going to cost you, what, $500, $600 a year, but it might be worth it. If you're starting to get more, you know, going to Denver or Dallas or, you know, getting more literature out there. And finally, the last thing I was going to share is clarify just a little bit about the Heaven's Confetti. Shane mentioned that it's being sold on the Gospel Publishers website, and it is. And we're happy that they're willing to do that, and we think it's a good way to get the message out there that this is available. But at this point, the supply chain and all of that's still so terribly new that if you want more than 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 packs of these baggies of these Heaven's Confetti, my phone number and Donna's phone number is back there on that. Just take a photo or something of that deal and contact us, and we can send those to you. At this point, it is somewhat a private venture. Our congregation and Scott paid for the printing that we have. Anthony Thiessen's there in Dewberry, he's personally paid for those. So we do ask $2 a bag just to try to recapture that that cost. We're not making anything on it. And we have to charge sales tax, and we're going to charge shipping too. But if you just want one or two bags and you're ordering a book from Gospel Publishers, great, order some from them. It's such a new thing that if at some point everybody's ordering from Gospel Publishers, we're happy for that too. They're selling them for $3 a bag. We're selling them for $2. And that's only because they're trying to cover some extra costs. So there are several ways you can get a hold of those. But it's still a new enough thing. We're trying to figure out where this is going to go. We don't know if it's going to be a fad that's ended and done in a year or two, or if it's going to go wherever. So, yeah, pray for that work. We appreciate the interest. It's been amazing, the support that we received for that. It seems like the last for a little while there, Anthony and Sheena were just a little bit, they didn't know if they, I don't know how to say it, they just wondered where they should go with it. And they had a couple touches as to, you know, this is amazing the way people are getting this, and it's inspiring them. I can tell you one time he was in their local Home Depot and he heard a voice that he hadn't seen for 15 years. He went around the counter there and met this man that used to be an ag person there in their community, and they started talking and sharing their life, and Anthony told him about the little Heaven's Confetti. And about that time his wife walked up to them and she said, "Oh, well, we were in this restaurant the other night, and I saw one laying on the bathroom sink, counter there, and I picked it up." She pulled it out of her pocket and showed it to Anthony. So it seems like God is showing that there's something here. But so pray for the work, and God bless you. Yeah. Well, I don't have enough here for that, but we've worked through the process of getting those printed, and it's been a challenge to get them printed and get them stamped out and packaged up and everything. But I think we've got that all figured out, so we're ready to start getting them to you whenever you want them. Well, they're stamping it on the track, on the front of the rack. But really what I'm thinking about more is, maybe I should back up a little bit, but like in New York City, they're doing a lot of personal handouts. And then that information is in that in that handout.
They put it inside like the plastic bag.
Yeah, And there again, I would highly encourage that if you're looking for a tract work buzz, try to find a place in Denver, Oklahoma City, where there's a lot of traffic. People walking, going places, Main Street or whatever, and start walking down that street and handing those, doing personal handouts. We've done that a couple times with our workers there in New York City, and I come away, it's just like, why am I leaving the city? I don't want to take any more time, but the boys there in New York City had been running routes every Monday, and after they saw how Clay was having success there in Queens, they decided that every other Monday they'd just walk the streets and hand out. And Roger said the first Monday that they went out doing that, they came back all pumped because they had handed out 1,600 packets. And they were just like, we know there are 1,600 people that have a tract in their hand, where if you put out a rack, you don't know if people take it or not. So now every other Monday they go do handouts, and I think Rod's son.
That was the
highlight.
Favorite day of the week.
Yeah.
Is there.
So if you can somehow find that in Oklahoma City, Denver, Dallas, Roger told me that years ago that a number of the brethren flew down to Mexico City and did it. Think outside the box. Thank you.
He's talking down my inspiration now too, so I couldn't stay sitting there. But that's how I have found it. Lana and I have found it too. How many of you are born again here? Raise your hands. I've often been impressed with this song, Into Our Hands. It says here, souls that are precious, souls that are dying, while we rejoice, our sins are forgiven. Every time I ever sing that song, I think about that. While we rejoice that our sins are forgiven, and then I'm ashamed to go and hand out a tract, or is I'm too busy, or it just, and I'm hearing that more and more in our congregation. I hear, we just don't have time for a tract anymore. I say the same thing. I tell Lana, when can we go? We just can't go this weekend, we can't go that weekend. But what's more important? And another thing that Todd talked about is it's endless in Denver. We have a route that comes around on the west side, clear on the west side of Denver. There's a long street that goes for I don't know how many miles. And I told Lana, as soon as we're off the track board at Lakin, we're going to start our own little track route right down this street. Because we've got some on this side. And you go there. You can go here. You can go just all down that street. You can go from, it's endless, like Todd said. But one more thing before I sit down. Don't let this stay with this little group. When you go home, you tell your congregation. Tell them what Todd and Rod told us today. Tell them the need out there and the small percentage that we're in today. And let's go home and tell our congregations what we've heard here today.
Just more on that Heaven's Confetti. We love it there in Ringwood. Brad got us into it, and he ordered some for us when he ordered some. And man, we have some moms there with little children. They go to town to Walmart. Their children just, they're not afraid. They love handing them cards out. Us as youth leaders, Brad's and us, we went to the city. Brad bought, he brought a box of tracks and Heaven's Confetti. We even encouraged the youth when they would get out of the bus to spread the word. It was an enjoyable day. So I'd encourage every one of them, Heaven's Confetti. You can put them in your pocket. It's just not for the ladies. I carry it with me. I sometimes I forget. I get back in the vehicle, I'm like, oh man, why didn't I hand some out? But they're so nice, and I just love them, and just encourage to get a hold of them.
Jared beat me up here. I can't stay sitting anymore either. These meetings are so enthusing to me, and I don't know why all these benches aren't full. I just can't figure out why there's not more people here, because it's such a good work. And I have been experimenting with different things, with putting track racks out, and the thing I've been doing lately is I'll put a track rack up. I'll have some of the tracks in packages. I like to stand by the track rack at Goldtree, and I just pick this one and that one and this one and stick it together, and then I start grabbing some other ones. And so they're all mixed. And I like it because I'll put one title facing out, like I put two titles facing out so that I can flip that track. So when I'm going to town and I see someone and I look at the front and I'm like, don't quite feel like that title, flip it over. Oh, I like this one. I'll give this one to them. So it gives me two options. Well, then the other side of it is it hides what's in the middle. So I like to put in tracks that people maybe don't want to take right away. Like there's the one about suicide. There's other titles that I like to stick in the middle. And they don't know what all they're getting. And I don't either know what they're getting at that point because they're all mixed. And so when I've put some track racks out, I like to put some of those packages, just stack a few up there, and then I like to lay out some Heaven's Confetti around there. And you can get kind of little stuff going on there. And I don't know for sure what all it does. It'd be fun to be able to sit there and see what goes first and what they take. But when I come back, I mean, usually the packages and the Heaven's Confetti is gone, and usually the tract rack has been looked through. And so I love how that all works. Also, for our congregations, if they're like the average congregation, it's a little intimidating to just go hand someone a tract. It's not necessarily very easy. And I think that the Heaven's Confetti is a starter. It is a little easier to present to someone. I'm not sure if it's just because of the shape. I'm not sure if it's because it doesn't have as much text on it. But I think it has helped even our congregation. There's just a basket sitting of them at the back there. And I think it helps them to, it kind of breaks, it's a little easier to start and it gets the practice. And I love how that works. There's something else I was going to say about it. Oh, you can make packages up too. I know that people can make packages themselves, but I've found if I have them sitting out, it seems like people take ready-made packages a little quicker. With that, and yeah, it's just such a good work.
I've been re-inspired to be here this weekend. It's probably been close to 12 years since Melissa and I were on the track committee, and we're just getting started again. I guess we're rookies again. And I've had lots of thoughts thinking back to other youth rallies, track rallies. And I wondered about Tim's object lesson last night, and I wondered if one of the things he was said, I wonder how many candles would have gotten blown out if he would have made a statement that, do you think that being on the track committee is less important than being on the school board or being youth leaders? Would candles have gotten blown out? That has been the one thing that has really been reverberating in my mind, is that this is an important work. And I don't know. Is it the quirkiness of our culture? What is it? You know, oh, I'm on the track committee. There's not a little knot of people around the track committee when you get elected after the business meeting that are shaking your hands and telling you you're going to do a good job and we're going to be praying for you. You know, the school board's over there and the youth leaders are there, and I'm not going to make a comparison here, but I think you get my point. And I really like that thought of thinking that we're not on the track committee, we are the local mission board. We are the local mission board. That's quite a thought. It really struck me. And, thinking outside the box, thinking about projects that maybe the tracks are incorporated into the project. Maybe they're not the focal point. Maybe they're to the side. Many years ago, we went and gave a half a day VBS at the Oklahoma City Rescue Mission about three times a year. Really enjoyed that. It's quite a project. We always had some tracks with us. Things like that that we can think about doing and that would have the tracks along with it. I think that would be a important avenue, as well as I really like that idea of slipping a tract in a mailbox of a church and asking if they need some gospel literature to distribute. I think there's a lot of different avenues and a lot of different ways. Darren, I'll never forget one time what your dad told me. He said, he was talking to a trucker, it's Dean Reimer, and somewhere in the conversation, your mom came up, and he said, that is the second best thing. She is the second best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Well, he said, well, what's the first? Well, he said, Jesus. And then the conversation started. Been inspiring.
I just want to tell you a little something also. Being in Japan last summer, you know, we worked hard making connections with people and trying to find a way to make that connection to be able to give them literature. And I was so reproved, like, we go there to do that. Why don't I do that more at home? You know, I go, how often do I go to town and I don't tell anyone about Jesus? I don't pass out a tract. And so I've, you know, prayed about that, tried to be more diligent with that. And Heaven's Confetti does, I think, make it easier. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but it is, I think, handing that out. But something that happened to me just not too long ago, I was in Walmart, and just kind of unexpectedly, this man came up behind me, and he said, Sister, I just want to compliment you for displaying your faith by wearing a prayer covering. It was a man I had never seen before, and I was just, I was ready to visit with him, but he was gone. You know, I said, well, thank you, and was going to start talking, but he was gone already. But it did make me think about how the way we present ourselves is also speaking to people too. So.
There's something that's been on my mind. How many of you go to colleges and universities with your tracks? Well, that's interesting, because I found out there in Abilene, Texas, we'd been going on our route, and it seemed like there was a little nudge or something to check out the Christian Academy there. And that's a huge college there. On the east side, and it's has over 5,000 undergraduates going there. And I didn't know how to go about this, so I knew we couldn't just hand out tracts on the campus, so I went to the front desk and asked where the chaplain was, and found that out, and I found the chaplain in a building kind of out in the middle. It took quite a while, took some time to get this accomplished. Found him in the basement, kind of in their game room type of thing under their restaurant facilities. And it was really rewarding. We had a good talk, and I asked him if he had any literature to hand to his students that come there with problems, like, why would you go to a chaplain unless you had a spiritual need or whatever? And no, he said, they have their Church of Christ affiliated, but they don't have any really small pamphlets like this. So he wanted a pack the first time, so I gave him some, and the next time he was enthused and he wanted more, and it's kind of escalated from that. It seemed like it didn't matter what the titles were, but it's been an interesting work. And there at McMurray University, the chaplain there was speaking with him. He said, well, it's a couple years ago, he said, the average student body at that time were 10% nuns, which I didn't know what nuns were, but he meant no, they're non-affiliated with any church organization. Their parents weren't, they don't know anything about, and yet they claim to be a Christian university. Well, now this last year, the year before, and I was talking, they said, oh, I think it's 80% that don't really have any Christian affiliation with anything. So they're allowing different religions coming in there. They have some colored people that come from Africa. They have some that practice the Wicca religion, which is, I understand, is kind of into witchcraft. And so, you know, if you have a college or something on your route, I would encourage you to look up the chaplain. And, you know, these colleges have a huge student body, some of them, that they need our Christian literature. It's not really a personal handout like we've been talking about, but it's a worthy work, I think. It gets the gospel into the young people's hands, because these chaplains, they hand it out as needed when people are in trouble. Another little incident I wanted to bring out was the Greyhound bus stops. Anybody have Greyhound bus stops? Now that's a worthy work too. They're in San Angelo, Texas. I came there the other day again, and the rack was completely empty, and I asked the clerk what's going on. Oh, she says, I make sure that, you know, people get these. They don't, you know, they're waiting around for the bus. When they get on the bus, they have a lot of time. You know, we think, well, they're just on their phone all the time. They don't need anything to read, but they do get tired of their phone. And she says, well, I guess I'm kind of like your agent. I make sure people get your tracks. And I thought, that's interesting. And so this last time I left her a bunch of packs of tracks, because she said, well, when your track is empty, I'll refill it again. I thought, that's interesting.
We need to move into business soon, but someone else has something to share yet? I'll try to stop it.
be original, think a different way, different places, different ways to do that. That's encouraged and promoted.
Well, unfortunately, all good things come to an end. Pretty special time we've had here again. We'd like to get you on the road soon here, if we can. Some of you have 5-6 hours home, so. But we have a few questions to ask you also, some elections to make here, and so we'll just move into that now. My term is expiring. Tim Johnson will take my place as chairman next year, and Tim Bays moves into the assistant VP position. So we need to nominate another person. We're not that big of a crowd here, but I think if you have someone from another one of the congregations in our district, don't hesitate to bring them up. We're open to nominees from anywhere in our district. So, start spitting them out and we'll move along here. It's a three meeting committee, and we're going to briefly bring up here in a minute whether you would like to go back to an annual meeting or continue with our biannual. So, if it's biannual, it would be 6 years. If it's annual, then it would be 3 years.
Jeremy Doolittle from Grant.
Jeremy Doolittle from Grant. Someone else. Brad Under from Goldtree. Got support? Okay, Jeremy Doolittle from Grant, Brad Under from Goldtree. One of you help me count, please. Do we just vote one side? I can't even remember. The ladies like to vote, don't they?
Yes, they can vote.
I'll count to me and you count.
Okay, who all supports Jeremy Doolittle from Grant? Brad Under. That wasn't very hard. You're in, Brad. You're going to enjoy it. I have thoroughly. It's well worth it. Okay. Our secretary position has been something that we've talked a little bit amongst ourselves. How important is it to keep notes of these meetings? And is it something that is necessary? I talked to Caleb about it for a while, and they would feel that they do like some records, and I think sometimes there are some congregations that may request the minutes from our meetings. So what we've been doing is For example, at the last meeting in Hydro, Dustin Smith from Farwell, he was on in Farwell, and then he came to Hydro, and he worked with Jack Workington. Now Jack is working with Josh, right? So this has worked okay, since it's fairly close, for Jack, who's not on his local committee, to drive over here to Fairview and work with Josh. But we would like to kind of mention this, or put it as a suggestion, that we just have a secretary appointed at the congregation where the meeting is to be held, to simplify this. Does anybody have any input?
I would support that. It seems logical.
Anyone else?
Support it.
Okay. Looks like we have support for that. We're going to do that from now on in the future. All right. How many of you brought an invitation from your congregation for the next meeting? Anybody? We do have one. Lakin has invited us. Does that find support? Raise your hands if you're for it. The next meeting will be in Lakin, Kansas. I like the way y'all roll.
There's a lot of choice there, dude.
Okay. The part of annual or biannual. If I understand correctly, I was texting with Caleb a little bit earlier. I know of at least one district that is, do you know how many districts there are, Shane, that do annual by chance? Okay. I know there's at least one that is doing annual. And they would feel like attendance is pretty small. But I'm not sure that it's smaller than this crowd. We're a third. There's a third here, roughly, that ended up showing up to this meeting. Do you all feel like if we held a meeting annually that it would merit the amount of work that the committee puts into it? Secondly, it is tough if you're on your local track committee and you're not able to make this meeting for a logical reason, but you would like to make Lakin, but in 2 years, you're off of your committee and you don't get this opportunity. That's the other side of the coin. Where do we go with this?
Craig, I'd be a little bit curious. How many people, how many congregations would have a term that's more than 2 years? Are there a few here that would have 3 years? We have 3 years here.
Ours is a 3 year.
Three. And they need to be here. It's worth it to have that opportunity, a second opportunity. I would like them to have a second opportunity. There's three districts. Good. That's good information. This part was a real struggle. It was tough because we put it out there on the big chat and we never heard from some congregations.
Because they weren't on the committee anymore, so they didn't respond.
And we thought that maybe they would help us or be kind enough to give us the new committee members, and that didn't happen. Which we're not picking on no one. But it was really tough for Tim to put this list together. Usually the new member on the committee, you got that to look forward to, Brad. It's your job to update the list. And we just decided to maybe work with this, update it yearly, regardless whether we switch to a biannual meeting or to an annual meeting. That's about the only way we're going to keep up, because if it's a two-year committee and neither committee member's on, and they aren't the type that enjoy communication, you have no idea who was newly elected and if you're getting the message to that congregation. So we called every congregation that did not respond. It's not real fun. But you have to do it. Found out that Ron and Royce at Center had no idea we were having this meeting. Luckily, Ron said, I'm coming. So he jumped in the car and here he is. But we have some that I'm not sure got the message. We hope they did. We contacted them, but so that's our concern with this idea. We have a motion.
I also support that. This is too good of inspiration to wait another 2 years again. I support 1 year.
I mean, it's going to be approved in years here. But if we decide to go to a 1 year, we won't be able to have it next spring because we got something else. We got, what is it?
Boys class.
Boys class.
But we could put it out on the chat and ask for him to explain that Lakin would still be willing for the next year, but we need one for the...
Absolutely. You know,
well, here's the other thing, too, that we were going to mention a little bit, is did this date work? Last year, we went March 27th or 8th, and our southern brethren were starting to water, remember? Nathaniel was in quite a bit of trouble down there. You know, they were getting water, and it was time to go. And it was tough for them to come. Now we ran into revivals. Like, it's pretty sad. We have no Nebraska representatives. They had two congregations were in revivals, and one had a wedding this weekend. So we didn't get anybody from Nebraska. Can we please everybody all the time? I don't know. We asked ahead of time to see who all was in revivals, and all we heard was one of the Oklahoma congregations. I forgot which one it was. Chickasha, I think. There's only one. So we thought we were good. Well, then we didn't have those track workers on our list because we didn't get the updates, did not know that we had two congregations in Nebraska with revivals as well. So you feel bad, like you didn't do your job and didn't get the word out there. But, any input from you all over there? Do you have a date that you feel will work better? Like, speak up now. We would love to hear it. Yes, sir, Paul. March, I don't remember, 20th? You run into Easter, we ran into spring break, we had two or three different, March was tough. That's why you get into Easter 1st of April, you run into revival season into February.
November is school meeting for our district and Thanksgiving.
Just from
Gordon's
side, there's one district that has the weekend right before any meeting. It makes it pretty hard to get somebody to
I believe it.
To get to that meeting.
That's the other thing. I forgot. Yeah, remember we had trouble. Yeah, when working with Rod, I think he actually bailed us out, but annual meeting's so close that then y'all are busy. Okay. Exactly.
Sometimes
that's the idea.
It's never going to be able to suit everyone.
Yeah. Was there another thought here? Or was it just support?
Support.
Okay, thank you.
I don't want to add any more confusion, but annually, does your responsibility as you three that are in charge of these, does your term change? Like, is it more of a burden now for Brad newly coming on? If it's annually, is it more work for you? Does that matter?
It's a three-meeting term, so we're still just going to have three meetings.
But you're going to have 3 years in a row, is more what he's saying, but that's not...
Right, but yet the updating should be less. I don't think that's an issue myself.
We won't forget as much in between if that's not your...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm telling you, like, seriously, the updating was tough.
Well,
like,
it stretches out over 6 years, too, if you're on there a long time. You get older.
You
can't
wait to just bring it to a vote at some point?
Well, we have a motion to go annual. We don't have a motion yet to go biannual. So if somebody wants to vote biannual, we will. But right now, we just have one motion for annual. All we heard was that Lakin cannot do 28. So we have to, if y'all want to vote both ways, I'm all for that. But somebody needs to make that a motion.
I'll
If you want to stay, speak up on 2 years. Okay, let's see your support for going back to annual. Raise your hands, please. That's very strong. We'll go back to annual. We will figure out what to do. A different date does not matter to Lakin. That'd still be pretty tough to pull that off, correct?
When is the class? When is the voice class?
February.
The class is clear. It's
going to be two classes together, yeah.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
Okay.
We'll just have to put it out and try to get it.
Well, I wonder too, like, even if our northern congregations, like Nebraska, would like a break and have it up that way, they might even be interested in hosting one up there. So.
I would say that Lakin is out for 27.
Okay. We'll note this. Y'all got that in the minutes back there?
So our invitation still holds for 28?
Yes, sir.
We're not letting down that one. We're excited about that.
I'm just sad that your congregation doesn't get to see your talent next year. Okay.
So I have one question.
Yeah.
If everybody would come, how big a group would it be?
77, 78. Something like that. We had 31 or two coming. I think 5 backed out. We're in the 20s is what we are that's here. So it's pretty tough. Like Bay said here, I don't know that it's going to get a lot smaller. I mean, surely a third of us can show up to this meeting.
But there's one thing about it. A smaller congregation can host it too. You know, it's not like a school meeting where you have 350 people. So that doesn't.
Not quite as complicated.
No, it's not.
Okay. Anything else?
I just shared with, as a board, we decided to send out a letter to all the track workers and encouraging them to come to these meetings and to, you know, be more involved in the track work and then get a orientation book or something. But we decided also to send that letter to the staff and just encourage them to help the workers come, any, you know, paper, expenses or whatever.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank
you. That's very good. Okay, we'll move into our next item, and that is trying to decide where to go with this track app. What we decided 2 years ago, help me on this, Paul, was that you would stay on for another, till the next meeting, right, as a help person. So basically, that the original three of Patrick and Tyson and Paul have completed what we asked them to do. The app is up and running and functioning. And like even Caleb is wanting some feedback on how we're going to go forward with this and how we're going to handle this. There were some very capable men back there at those desks that were willing to help. Are we saying we want to put one man in to answer your question? If you need someone to help you, are we saying we want to put in a help committee? Are we comfortable enough with it that we're willing to take this on with our congregation? Some of you younger ones help the older ones. What's your thoughts? How do you want to proceed with this? Those boys have been on now for 3 meetings, so, brother, sorry, Paul. And they did a fine job.
I would be curious what's happening in other districts. Do the other districts have people that are giving presentations at their meetings also?
Well, for a while, y'all were taking all the calls, weren't you, Paul? Pretty close for all the districts.
Other districts that are using it, there's others that fairly obviously are not. Do they even
Can you answer any of that, Shane? Do you know anything about any of that? If it's being promoted in all the different groups, districts?
It is, like we try to mention it at every track meeting.
Okay.
I had wondered if we should have something like central to the office, although in-house.
That could answer questions. Yeah, they're active.
They're active, so if it's just not, they're not using, other districts are not using theirs.
I think our feeling would be, as a committee, is this person would be for our district, right? Like, no longer would the questions be coming in from everywhere because we're just designing this. It's up, it's running, and it's working pretty good. Did you want to be a member for life, Paul?
I will say this. When we add the helps page in, my calls went from 20 to 30 a month down to zero.
That's good.
Would Paul be willing to just be like a contact person? So there is someone in the district that can be contacted and then go from there. Or do we want, or is he not willing for that?
I'd be glad. I mean, it's not that. I mean, at this point, it's. And I'd be glad to help somebody else.
Learn the position as well. Y'all are the group. Speak up and help us here. Tell us what you're thinking.
Would it be good if they'd encourage, or we'd encourage the other district? Some other districts to have somebody work with Paul? I mean, if they put a man in, if we've supplied it up to here, you know, Paul keeps going and maybe somebody else.
But that's where I kind of like Shane's idea that there would be a central point that would handle
everything,
all the districts and getting them started. I don't know.
We don't worry him.
Right. I'm just not sure if Paul wants to, that's fine, but I'm not sure if Paul's job description would be to cover getting everyone going. If he chooses to, that's a volunteer position, but.
I was thinking just Paul for our district.
You know, at Lincoln there, there's some of us aren't techy, and so with our speaker system, they've just asked the congregation, are there brethren that would take an interest in there? And yeah, there's three or four brethren.
Volunteer. What do you think, Paul? Do you like that idea? Is there one of you that was helping Paul today that would be interested in taking that, giving him a little relief and working with him to kind of get a second person involved that would understand this well? Is there someone that would volunteer?
Maybe Paul knows better and he can contact someone too.
Where'd your helpers go, Paul? Do you have a nominee?
Either one of those would be fine. Fine to have work with. And it'd be close. I would decide with him or Shane either to help them in get something established there.
Somebody give us direction. Are you willing, Paul, just to take this position and just ask those brethren to work with you? You're. Raise your hands if you support that idea. That's fairly positive. Okay. That's what I have. Is there anything else that I've missed or that you would like to discuss or talk about yet? Thanks for coming. I think we'll adjourn this meeting. I'm pretty sure that the food committee has snacks to go.
They have a cold coffee drinks with ice in them already back there, so they're kind of ready to give them out.
Okay. You're from here.
They're ready to go.
All right. One of you come up and close in prayer, please, before we part.
Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the last times, few days, hours that we've been together. Thank you for your inspiration, for your spirit, for what we have felt. Thank you for willing workers. Continue to bless and lead and help these thoughts and inspirations to multiply. Give a special protection over all those traveling. And again, give a special blessing to the Courtesy Committee and the Food Committee here for all their work. Keep us all in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.